Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
How you doing? Good? Are you ready for the Word of God today? I am ready to preach. Bring greetings from Pastor Ken. He had a couple of trips in quick succession, but he's looking forward to being with us preaching a three services next week. So get in to hear from him. He sends his love to everybody. He misses you, but he's being lent to a church in Brisbane this morning. Is that okay? Can we lend him? So good, so good. So it's Serve Sunday. As you saw on the video, one of the cultures of the house, we are about serving Jesus and his church. And I want to say that is very important. And I am going to preach into that today, but I want you to bear this in mind. The goal of this platform is not to recruit you. The goal of this platform is to disciple you. Amen? Amen? The mandate of the house is not lost, found, volunteers recruited. If you think it is, you're wrong. It's lost, found, disciples made. Amen. Discipleship is where it's at for us. So we don't want to be a church, to be a house that comes around the Word of God for information. We're coming around the Word of God for life transformation. We want you, and I want me, to be year on year looking a little bit more like Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the point. So at the end of today, the Lord may speak to you about signing up for something or serving in a new way, and that would be amazing, and we encourage you to do so. But please don't view this message that I'm about to preach as a manipulation to do so. Because if you see this like that, then you've really missed the point. We have missed the point. Are we good? So this is a discipleship message. Make no mistake about it. And I've called it today, get your ears pierced. It's time. Get your ears pierced. Don't freak out. We're not becoming a cult. I promise you, this is biblical. And just hang with me. We're going to go there. But as disciples of Jesus Christ, we relate to the Lord in many different ways. Like when we first respond to the gospel message, one of our earliest ways of relating to God is this understanding, I am a sinner and he is a savior. This sinner-savior dichotomy is so important to us at the point of salvation as we receive forgiveness for our sins, as we receive eternal life. And as we journey in our walk with the Lord, we also quickly learn to relate to God as our Father, right? In this understanding, what are we? We're children of God. And with that, we receive his love. We receive a new identity. But there's another way of relating to God that is equally important, but perhaps not given quite so much airtime, and that is this, that he is our master and we are his servants. And in this understanding, we're actually called to serve him with our whole lives. And I wholeheartedly believe that to walk out as disciples of Jesus Christ, we need to be well-versed in all these facets of our relationship with the Lord. I actually think it's a sign of our spiritual maturity to reconcile that my walk with the Lord, it's not one or the other, it's actually both. It's both. Yes, he's your father. Yes, you're a child of God. Yes, you've been adopted to sonship and we give him glory, but also he's your master. And you're called to serve him with your life. It's not either or. It's both and. You follow me today? If you need to know how this works, just look at Jesus. Was Jesus a son of the Father? Did he know he was loved by the Father? Was he secure in that fact? Yes, he was. He absolutely was. But also, was he a servant? Did he know that his job was to lay down his life to the will of the Father? Absolutely. So Jesus models to us that we live in both, not one or the other, but both. The problem is, we tend to love this sinner-savior relationship. We tend to love this father-child relationship because they lend themselves more to what we receive from the Lord. We receive love. We receive forgiveness. We receive eternal life, whereas we struggle a bit more with this master-servant dichotomy because it's all about what we therefore need to give. What we surrender, what we lay down, it actually costs us something. And this challenges us deeply, does it not? Am I the only one in my room? We love receiving the love of the Father, but we also like to retain control of our lives. We love knowing we're a child of God, but we'd perhaps rather serve Him on our own terms. Perhaps we want to compartmentalize our service to God. Like we set our own conditions around it, our own parameters around it. God, you can have this bit on these days and in these ways and at this time, but the rest is mine. The rest, I'm going my way, I'm doing my will. Perhaps we serve Him. We do serve Him, but we do so with a resentful heart. We do so with a skewed perspective, like I have to. It's my duty, it's expectation, obligation, it's religious, it's keeping God happy, it's keeping people happy, and so on and so forth. Unfortunately, I want to say none of those attitudes or behaviors are actually what Scripture is calling us to when it comes to being a servant. None of those things are what the Lord had in mind according to the Scripture. Our whole lives belong to Him. Jesus said things like this: if you want to be great, you have to be the servant of all. He said, if you love your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life, you'll find it. The Apostle Paul says something similar in Romans chapter 12. We're going to read it from the Amplified Version. Verse 1, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies. Dedicate all of yourself, set apart as a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your rational, logical, intelligent act of worship. What, confronting Scripture, yes or no? Let's just think about that term for a minute, living sacrifice. Last time I checked, sacrifices don't have very many options. Last time I checked, there's not a whole heap of room for negotiation for the sacrifice. The sacrifice can't call the Sacrifice Rights Commission and make a complaint. You know, it doesn't work like that. The only option for a living sacrifice is to lay it all down. To lay it all down. And yet we look for loopholes, don't we? Because laying it all down is actually the hardest thing to do. Regardless, this is the life of service that the Lord has called us to. God wants our whole life. He doesn't want a part. He doesn't want a compartment. He wants the whole. He wants all of us. And you might be saying, Chrissy, don't be ridiculous. It's not even feasible. What am I going to do? Quit my job? What am I going to do? Like work for the church, move to the mission field? It's easy for you, but the rest of us have real jobs. It's easy for you. You work for the church. What does it even mean to serve Him with my whole life? Well, we're talking primarily not about changes in behaviors or changes in actions, although they might come as a result, but we're talking primarily about changes in heart. Changes in heart. In all your days, in all your ways, in all your future thinking and in all your decision making, whose will wins? Whose will wins? Whose will grips your heart? Whose will shapes your decisions? Is it your own will or is it the will of the Lord's? Are you caught up in your own will and your own desire, or are you really caught up in the will and the desire of the Lord's? Because your answer to that question is going to reveal to you how you're actually going in being a servant of your heavenly master. Amen? We see King David in Psalm chapter 40. He expresses his own heart when it comes to being a servant. And I want you to remember with me in this moment that David was the king of the land. There's no higher office in the whole of Israel. He's the commander of the armies. He's overthrowing nations. This is who David was. You know, you think you've got a big high-pressure job. David had a huge high-pressure job, yet in his heart, he took the posture of a servant. And we read this in Psalm 40, verse 6 to 8. He says this, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have pierced. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am. I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart." What does this text even mean? Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have pierced. It's actually contrasting for us the Mosaic law that required Jewish people to make sacrifices to God by legal requirement because they had to. They did so because they had to. And it's contrasting that with David's willing disposition to lay down his life, not because he had to, but because he wanted to. He says, "My ears you have pierced," or different renderings say, "My ears you have opened." And that Hebrew word open, it means to dig or to dig through, to open up the ear or to pierce the ear. And most commentators agree that it's a reference to Old Testament practice that we find in the book of Exodus 21 when the Mosaic law was being given to Moses atop Mount Sinai. I need you to remember with me the context. Israel's birthing as a nation happened in the context of slavery. Their whole 400-year existence had been this cruel and burdensome existence under Egypt. And when Israel was delivered by God from Egypt, the law came through Moses. God's law sought to reform and redeem this practice of slavery. Track with me. He calls himself, "I am the Lord your God who brings you out of the land of slavery." And then he gives the law, and the very first thing he deals with within the law was the rights of slaves. He wanted to protect them. He wanted to dignify them. He wanted to acknowledge their humanity. And we can read about this in Exodus 21, verse 2. This is the law. It says, "If you buy a Hebrew servant, he is to serve you for 6 years. But in the seventh year, he shall go free without paying anything." So under God's law, no more could anyone live and die as a slave. Under God's law, it was no longer a lifelong predicament for anyone. After serving 6 years, they were free to pursue their own life. And so this represents radical reform for Israel. This represents a radical change of thinking to people who had been slaves for 400 years. Generations of slavery. God comes and completely reforms it. However, it goes on to say in Exodus 21, verse 5 and 6. This is where it gets interesting. "But if the servant declares," okay, an act of the servant's will, "if the servant declares, I love my master and my wife and my children, I do not want to go free, then his master must take him before the judges and he shall take him to the door or the doorpost and pierce his ear with an awl. Then he will be his servant for life." So this is how that law worked. A servant, any servant, was free under the law to go, to leave in the seventh year. But say a scenario arose where that servant was really happy serving their master. He's like, "Working for you is the absolute best. I'm so grateful for what you've done for me. I'm so grateful for what you've done for my family. I know you have to let me go, but I don't want to go. I'm happy working for you. I love you. I want to work for you. In that instance, a servant could willingly and voluntarily and permanently commit himself to his master for the rest of his days, not because he had to, but because he wanted to. Not out of obligation, but out of a love relationship. And the sign of this agreement would be that the servant would present his ear to be pierced. And this pierced ear would signify the lifelong commitment that the servant himself had made to his master. You tracking with me? So we take this understanding back to Psalm chapter 40, and we hear the cry of King David crying out to God, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ear you have pierced. What's he saying? He's saying, God, I am not coming to you out of ritual. I am not coming to you out of law or religion or tradition or any other thing. I'm not here because I have to be. I'm here because I want to be. I've let you pierce my ear. In other words, I want to serve you. I love to serve you willingly, voluntarily. I am laying down my life. I'm all yours. I'm all yours. This is the heart. This is the heart of a servant that greatly pleases the Lord. You know, to get your ears pierced is to come before the Lord with a willing heart to lay your life down. To get your ears pierced is to bring him your desire. Like, God, I always want to be where you want me to be. God, I always want to be doing what you want me to be doing. Amen. And if you and I are going to come to a same or similar place in our lives where we say, God, you can pierce my ear. My life is actually wholly yours. There's a few things that we have to understand. Is this all right? Is this helping someone today? The first thing we have to understand is getting your ears pierced. It's a response. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's a response. When we lay our lives down, we do so because we understand that Jesus first laid his life down. When we love, we do so because we understand he first loved. The first one to willingly and voluntarily lay their lives down was Jesus Christ. You know, Psalm 40, we read it earlier, It is true of King David, but it's actually embedded into the text. There's a messianic prophecy. So like in a near fulfillment sense, it was true of David, but in a far fulfillment sense and in a perfected sense, it's actually true of Jesus Christ. Let us read it again. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but here speaking of Jesus, my ear you have pierced. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am. It's prophesying to us of Jesus. He fronted up before his father, before his master, saying, here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. It's written of Jesus in the prophecy, the messianic prophecy. I desire to do your will. Oh my God, your law is within my heart. You know, it was true of David, but it was perfected in Jesus. It's perfected in the only begotten Son of the Father. He came. He came with an attitude of complete surrender, perfect submission. He became the once and all sacrifice for your sin and for mine. He bled and died willingly, voluntarily. He bled and died in this ultimate act of relinquishing his own will to the will of the Father. And we see, you know, in the Garden of Gethsemane, how Jesus himself, he wrestled with the hardship of laying his own will down. But what did he render in the end? Not my will, but yours be done. Not my will. And the result of Jesus being this kind of servant for you and for I is that we have been made righteous by God. All because Jesus was prepared to lay his will down. And so we come and we lay our will down as a response. It's a response. We read before Romans 12, verse 1. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true, your proper worship. I want you to consider with me that phrase, in view of God's mercy. In view of God's mercy. In other words, in light of all that Jesus has done. Because he withheld nothing from us, that is the basis on which we ought to withhold nothing from him. Am I preaching to a church this morning? In view of God's mercy. If serving God with your whole life seems a bit extreme to you, maybe God's mercy has been a bit obscured to you. Maybe the starting point for you is to get a deeper revelation of God's mercy. Maybe the starting point for you is to see with fresh eyes the depths of the love of Jesus Christ and all that he's done for you, and how we have no capacity in and of ourselves to stand right before God other than in Jesus Christ. None whatsoever. There's no redemption in our works. There's only redemption by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Because I reckon when you truly see the depths of God's mercy that has been expressed in Jesus, that's when presenting yourself as a living sacrifice becomes reasonable, logical, rational, intelligent. It's a natural consequence of viewing God's mercy, and it becomes our act of worship. Amen. Amen. In view of God's mercy, present yourself as a living sacrifice. Another thought, if we're going to get our ears pierced, we have to do so willingly. Everyone say willingly. Make no mistake, the Lord is not making you a living sacrifice. You have to present yourself a living sacrifice. There is no obligation and no compulsion for you to get your ears pierced. Everyone said amen. There's no obligation or compulsion for you to do so. You have an option to do so or not. You have an option to live according to your own will or to live according to the Lord's will. God's given us this free will on earth, and he will not violate it. He will not demand a heart of service from you. You're going to have to give that willingly. And Jesus modeled the type of willing surrender that pleases the Father in the book of John 10, verse 17 to 18. It says this: the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. Verse 18, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. Can you hear the language of willingness? Jesus' sacrifice, it was an act of his own free will. But just because he did it willingly does not mean it was easy. Who knows? It's not easy. In the life of disciples like you and me, we're going to have to wrestle the same wrestles as Jesus wrestled when he sweated drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he wrestled with it. Is it my will or is it God's will? Is it my way or is it his way? Will the flesh win or will the spirit win in this instance? And that's not a wrestle. I think as disciples, we have to wrestle only one time. Who wishes it was only one time? One and done, you know? But I think we'll find ourselves wrestling this wrestle over and over again, time and time again, on this road called discipleship, on this road to looking more and more like Jesus. The wrestle of wills is going to come against us over and over. Bill Johnson says this, and I tend to agree. He says, we're all in a fight every day of our lives, a fight to sustain the lordship of Jesus Christ in every part of our lives. You're all saying yes, because we all know. We all know that fight. We all know that wrestle. If he's to be master and we're to be servants, it's going to require that we win the fight. We win the battle of the wills, that we're willing to lay down our own over and over again. Why do you think Jesus, when he taught us the model prayer, he says, pray daily, pray like this: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. It's a daily fight. It's a daily wrestle of the wills. It's a daily relinquishing mine to pick up his. Amen. Final thought today. When we get our ears pierced, we understand this. We understand it's a blessed life. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's a blessed life. Jesus says to us, when we lose our life, we will find it. Who wants to find life? When we lose our lives, that's when we find it. Many of us are gripping on so tightly to our own will and our own life, thinking that it's the pathway to the most blessed existence. You know, Jesus says the opposite. If you love your life, you're going to lose it. But if you lose your life, that's when you find it. The life that Jesus wants to help us to find, it's a blessed life. It's an amazing life. You know, the life we find, it's going to lead us into a hope and a future. Don't think that becoming a willing servant of the Lord is going to lead you to some beggarly existence, you know, suffering in some horrible way while you give up and relinquish everything that's good about life. It's not like that at all. I need you to remember with me where I started this message. Your master is also your father. Your father is also your master. To be a servant doesn't mean you're not a child. You're a child of God. You're a servant of the master, and he is no tyrant. This is a love relationship, amen? It's a love relationship, and when you lay down and surrender your will to his will, his great delight, your master, your father's great delight is to sweep you up into his good plans and purposes. Plans that are going to prosper you and not harm you, that are going to give you a hope and a future, amen? When you present yourself as a living sacrifice, that's when he can truly lead you on those paths of righteousness for his name's sake. They're going to be for your good and they're going to be for his glory. Trust me, in that place, your heart's going to be filled with joy. Your heart will be filled with joy. The enemy lies to us, says, hold on. That's the way to the blessed existence. Jesus says, let go. And I'm going to fill your hearts with joy. When he speaks to us, the parable of the talents, the master came back and reckoned accounts with those faithful and good stewards. He says, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. He wants to fill your life with joy. When we come and good and faithful service to the Lord, we get to enter into the joy of our master. When you lay it all down, you can trust him. With every fiber of your being, you can trust him. He will deal tenderly. He will deal faithfully with the things that you entrust to him. Consider Jesus again. Could Jesus the servant trust his master? Could Jesus the servant trust the leadings of his father, his master? Did those ways lead to great fruit and fulfillment? Did the ways in which his master led him lead to glory and victory and freedom? Of course they did. Of course they did. Our father, our master is trustworthy. And when we lay it all down, he leads us into a blessed life, right? An amazing, great blessing. By the grace of God, these days that I'm living in now, I feel that my ear has been pierced. I feel that all of me belongs to Jesus, every part. I haven't always been able to say that so convincingly, so wholeheartedly, but I feel like by his grace, he's led me to this place where there's nothing I withhold anymore. There's no decision, there's no part that I couldn't say that, Lord, I am willingly, I am voluntarily, I am permanently yours. Like, I am yours. I belong to Jesus. I belong to Jesus. And I'm in a situation right now where my son, Isaiah, with a disability, he's just turned 18. He is weeks away from finishing school forever. And so that means in just a few short weeks, Ken and I go back to having a full-time dependent. And the future looks very uncertain to us. A lot of people are saying, what's it going to look like? What's it going to look like? The answer for everyone, I don't know. Just so you know, I don't know. We have plans, But we're waiting on government agencies and funding packages and all those sorts of things to ascertain whether or not we're going to be able to fulfill those plans. And those things are well outside of our control. And I've been praying, I've been committing it all to the Lord. Lord, how can I best serve you in this next season? You're my master. How can I best serve? Are you requiring me to not work? Could I serve you best? Could I bring you the most glory by just loving and caring for my son full time? Could I serve you best by serving him? Is that what you're asking me to do? Because if you are, I'll say yes. Now, I don't want any of you to get carried away. I'm not quitting. I don't think that that is what the Lord is saying in this season, but you need to know that if he said that, if I was convinced that that was his will, my answer would be yes. My answer, because I trust him. I trust him. Serving isn't about what I do. Servant is who I am. It's who I am, and serving him, it's not about a role or a platform or a title or a position. It doesn't matter if I'm known or unknown, seen or unseen, paid or unpaid. None of those things matter. I just love my master. I belong to him. My master's my father. My father's my master. My ears he has pierced. And the whole point is that I feel I'm ready and available to do his will, whatever that might be. Whatever that might be. As the band comes to join me in this moment, do you feel that your life is in a place where you can say the same thing? Have you let him pierce your ears? Are you ready? Are you available to do the will of the Lord? You know, maybe in this place and in this moment, as we consider serving for the next few Sundays, maybe it's an opportunity to examine our own hearts. Are we simply children of the Father? Or have we come into that place of spiritual maturity where we can reckon that we're also servants of the Master? Where we can reckon there's an accountability coming to all of us about what we do with our hours and what we do with our days? Have we allowed him to pierce our ear? In view of his mercy, have we presented ourselves as living sacrifices? Are we coming to him in response? Not out of obligation, but are we coming to him willingly? Because I believe with all my heart, our master, our father wants to lead us as servants and children into a blessed life that is full of kingdom fruit. That's full, that we actually get to participate in the will of the Father. We get to participate in what he's doing on the earth. There, it comes to us with the promise of eternal reward. It comes to us with the promise of more than we could ask or think or imagine. But it starts with us willingly, voluntarily, surrendering our lives. Echo with that Psalm of David, "Here I am, Lord, ready to do your will. Here I am, Lord. My desire is to do your will." Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.